Get ready for truth bombs and guidance from conservative leaders and entrepreneurs, from God-fearing, freedom-loving, truth-telling, patriotic Americans. Welcome to Patriots with Grit. Now let's jump into today's episode with your host, Darren Ross.
Well, we're back on the medical front again today, yeah, Randy. Talking about things going on in the medical field. And, you know, we like this topic of health freedom, correct?
Yes, we do.
And I think our audience does, too. And we've talked a lot, had a lot of guests on here, a lot of great shows about medical freedom, about COVID, about masks, about the vaccines. But we've never had a guest that talks about babies, infants, and increased infant death.
We're starting to see the rubber hit the road here.
The rubber's hitting the road.
This is what we're about. We wanted to have people like this on our show to tell exactly what's going on and not be scared to be a whistleblower.
This is why we call them truth bombs. But I hate to have a guest. I wish we didn't even have to know Michelle Whistleblower because I don't want to have to talk about babies dying in utero and you know, having increased baby deaths. It's not something I want to talk about. But unfortunately, in today's medical society and situation and, you know, the medical establishment, that's what we're up against. So let's bring her on. Michelle Whistleblower, thank you for joining us today here on Patriots with Grit. Look like you got your sidekick with you.
Is that your producer?
This is Logan.
She has Logan, the producer's there with her today. So Michelle, you and I had a conversation a couple weeks or so ago, and you were sent to me by a fairly well-known, prominent doctor. Hey, Logan. How you doing, buddy? You were sent to us by a fairly prominent, you know, well-known prominent doctor. And, you know, some of the things he was telling me that he had experienced with you was mind-blowing. I mean, he was talking about the increased number of baby deaths and infant deaths. And so you and I had a conversation. And then you're currently employed as a postpartum nurse, correct, in California?
Yes, that's correct.
So tell us a little bit about, I mean, you've been at this for 6 years. Talk about what you're seeing, what's going on with, you know, with babies, even before they're born.
I didn't know Logan was going to pop in here, so he's heading out. But
crowd control.
It's distracting a little bit when he's here.
Hey,
so
that's okay. We've never had Logan in a show before, but that's great.
Normally I have the door locked and he snuck in. But I've been a postpartum nurse for 2 years now. And before that, I was a tele nurse for 3 years, which is a cardiac nurse. So I saw a lot of, you know, middle-aged to elderly people when I was a cardiac nurse, and I saw
We're good. Just keep it going. We're good. This is uncensored, unfiltered. We don't believe in censorship here at Patriots with Grit. It's just all truth and it's just all raw. So not much editing done here. So just let it out.
Okay, I don't know if you heard him crying in the back, but
oh,
now
did.
He calmed down.
That was after the meeting, but we're good.
So I saw a lot of cardiac issues, respiratory issues, kidney issues. You know, people came in, they were pretty sick on the heart floor. And pretty much I would give them their medications and try to make them better and send them home. And but knowing that they're not actually that much better, but we kind of maybe help them out for a little bit, stabilize them. And so that was really exhausting to work on that floor, even though I did love it and I like taking care of people. It was a lot of work that was, you know, repetitive. Like I said, you knew that they weren't all the way better and you kind of knew you'd see them again and with serious issues. So I was so happy to go to the postpartum floor, which is with newborns and moms, and they're generally healthy. And babies are beautiful, you know, brand new souls that you get to take care of. And so I was so happy. And I thought that, you know, maybe God put me on that floor so I can have a little bit of a break and just be with these babies. And that was right in 2020. So that was during the pandemic, you know, and a lot of people were dressing up in their gowns for the because of COVID. And but these moms that would come in, if they were positive for COVID, they weren't really sick. You know, we would just gown up when we go in their room and they're not coughing or sick or anything. They tested positive for some reason. And so we would take care of them and they'd go home, you know, pretty much normal delivery. And then once the vaccine started rolling out, well, before the vaccines came out, we already had been hearing that they're coming out with the vaccine. And right away, I did not feel right about that vaccine. I felt like this something's weird. And I hope that these pregnant mothers do not get it, because obviously it's not tested on them. It doesn't seem safe. And so I just stayed pretty observant. And then these vaccines came out in around March, and these moms were starting to get these vaccines while they were pregnant. And we went from, we would normally have 50 babies in the NICU at any normal time, because we're a high risk hospital in Central California. So 50 is an average amount in NICU. That's where the babies require extra monitoring. And all of a sudden in March, right when the shots really started coming out, we had 80 babies in the NICU, and we've never had that number of babies before.
And so that listening, that's a 60% increase. I just did the math in my head. That's a 60% increase, which is totally not normal.
Very alarming. Yes. And so that was like my first thing that I'm like, this is not right. And before the shots came out, I would notice that we would have like one fetal demise per month. And, you know, because sometimes something happens in the womb and unfortunately the mom will lose the baby. But it's very uncommon. And so on average, it would be maybe one per month. And once these shots came out in March, I started noticing that we were having like one fetal demise per week. And that's alarming also. And so I just really kept my eyes open. And during that time, a lot of the staff members were being, they were also getting the vaccine, and they were getting really judgmental against the nurses who were not getting the vaccine. And so I noticed that the ones that were getting the vaccine, they were not as observant because they didn't put it together, I guess. And so in October, they mandated that all nurses get it or they threatened to fire us. And I kind of was like, well, I'm not getting it and you can fire me, you know. And then November came around and I didn't get fired. They just said, oh, psych, you know, if you didn't get the vaccine, then you just have to test your, get tested for COVID twice a week and be negative or whatever. And so, so I already kind of have felt the pressure of them threatening to fire me before, because of October of 2021. And so anyway, I started noticing this increase in fetal demises and I kept working. Unfortunately, my mom was killed in November by hospital protocols. You know, they started, they were giving all these patients remdesivir against their will. And my mom went to the hospital with COVID and I told her, make sure you do not get remdesivir. And they gave it to her anyways. And my mom ultimately died. And so, you know, that was going on at the same time that I'm seeing all these dead babies. So it was pretty much like carnage, you know, and we were seeing these moms with these health problems, crazy blood pressure problems, and just, and clotting and bleeding, all kinds of circulatory problems. So I basically felt like I was back on the cardiac floor. And it was just crazy. I'm like, it should not be like this. Mothers and babies should be healthy. And they should have their normal deliveries and they go home with their brand new baby. And instead, all these mothers are losing their babies. And so, you know, I would speak out. I'd ask other nurses, what's going on? Why are all these babies dying? And a lot of them, they were just oblivious. They said, I don't know, pesticides or the water, or people are unhealthy these days. They eat too much fast food. I mean, they just basically did not want to put together that it could possibly be this vaccine. And so,
did they not want to put it together, or were they just too ignorant to put it together? I mean, I'm just going to lay it out there and ask you point blank.
I think it's both. I think that the ones who did get vaccinated, the nurses, it's like, a sense of belonging. And so I think they don't want to face the facts that that vaccine could potentially harm them or these mothers because, or they think, well, I got it and I'm fine. And so they don't want to put it together. I think it's ignorance, and I think it's a sense of denial. I don't know. It's really weird. I think a lot of people are brainwashed But I also think that the more we speak out and the more people, you know, the more time that goes by, the truth is coming out. And I think people are going to become less brainwashed eventually. And hopefully they start just listening to people who are trying to provide honest information.
So if you were to bring this up to somebody that you know was vaccinated, another nurse, did you ever see that any one of them might have said, you know what? Ugh, you might be right.
They did. Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
At first, they did not. At first, it seemed like everybody was in denial. But over the last several months, especially now that a few of them have seen me speaking out, they're saying, yeah, I agree with you. And I think that shot definitely is contributing to these demises. But it took several months.
First of all, our condolences to you for your mom passing away. And I believe you told me that within a few days, your stepfather passed away as well, correct?
Yes. Yeah, he did.
Was that of the same cause? Same thing?
Yes. They both went in there with COVID. All they needed was oxygen. They were both just weak at home and they needed support. And I couldn't provide them with oxygen. So when I dropped them off, they walked in there. I said, do not let them give you remdesivir. I didn't know it was as toxic then as I do now, but I knew that my mom doesn't handle drugs or medications at all. And she told them not to give it to her. And then the first dose they gave her was at 2 a.m. So she was probably asleep. And it's an IV drug. It goes in their IV. And I've been finding out that there's been so many people, millions of people who have said, do not give me remdesivir. And they write it down and they demand that these people know and the hospital staff give it to them anyways. Whoa. Because it's ordered by Fauci. It's a hospital protocol. They are not allowed to refuse.
I can think of something else we could order for Fauci, you know, but that would probably get our show banned.
I'll say it, a rope.
Yes.
So there's our third strike on YouTube. We're done. We're off. That's okay.
So even when people signed something and had a record of it, did they, you probably don't know, but I just wonder if they got rid of that record and falsified the chart.
My mom did have a record, a page in her medical records that said social work consult ordered because patients refusing treatment. And the social worker quoted my mom saying, do not give me any medications without consulting with my RN daughter, Michelle, first. And they never once consulted me. They just drugged her to death.
Are you pursuing this legally?
I'm sorry?
Are you pursuing this legally?
I'm trying. It's hard. It's a lot of people don't want to touch it because it's political and it's COVID. But I'm trying.
Unbelievable. Yeah, how spineless the legal system or the injustice system has become with all this. It's spineless how hospital administrators, physicians, it's sickening. It's despicable. And never in a million years did I think this would happen in the healthcare industry. So
I have
some things. Michelle, you talked about a lot of babies dying in utero. We've talked about that even pre-show and way more than in the past. Tell us a little bit about, you decided, in looking at you, you look fairly young. You look fairly, you look like, you could be kind of a little butt kicker. I mean, it looks like you could stir up some stuff. Tell us a little bit about, you stepping out amongst all your hospital peers. I mean, I don't know how many people are employed at the hospital organization where you are, but tell us a little bit about how many people that are nurses, like in postpartum nurses there are, and how many actually stood up and spoke out. And once you did that, what began happening to you and financially, how you were, basically ostracized.
Yes, I'd be happy to. There are about 30 postpartum nurses that work on the floor with me, but there are about 8,000 employees in the whole hospital. Probably 6,000 of them are nurses. And then when I started speaking out, I realized really quickly that nobody else is going to speak out. Because I started asking in the beginning, I asked a couple of my friends, nurse friends, like, hey, are you willing to speak out with me on this, on these babies dying? And they said, no, I appreciate what you're doing, but I'm not comfortable speaking out. I do have one friend who said she would, and she just had a baby. Well, he's 4 months old now, and she got the vaccine while pregnant. She didn't know she was pregnant. And a week after she got the vaccine, she started having these crazy blood clots, had to have surgery, had to have her baby delivered by C-section really early, and had all kinds of complications. And now she's on blood thinners. So she's trying to recover from that. But she said she's willing to speak out with me. But then, you know, she's taking care of her brand new baby. So it's kind of hard. But she's the only one. And I've asked several others, and they said they're not comfortable. They don't want to lose their job, their money, you know, their livelihood. And so I was like, well, I feel it's on my heart that I have to keep speaking out. And they already threatened to fire me once. I mean, what is it going to be? They're going to threaten me again. Okay. So in 2021, December 2021, we got an email from the administrator again that said, we will all receive a $10,000 retention bonus if we're still employed by December 4th of 2022, or depending on our employee status, December 2022. So for December 2021, everybody, all the nurses got $3,333. And they said, as long as you're still employed, you'll get the rest of it. And so December 2022 came along, and I was, you know, expecting my bonus because I'm still employed. And when I checked my bank that morning, when the check would have come through, I noticed that I didn't get my bonus, and all the other nurses did, because they were like, oh, we got this nice bonus. We're going to go shopping for Christmas. And, you know, they're all excited, all talking about it at the nurse's station. I'm like, well, that's kind of messed up. I didn't get one. But that's okay. You know, I kind of had a feeling that I wasn't going to get one because I spoke out. So I thought, man, this is why people don't speak out. It makes sense. It's a lot of work. It's stressful. You know, I've been having these meetings with HR about how bad it is that I copy and pasted an email. Not how bad it is that babies are dying, but just that I copy and pasted an email, an internal document. And so I guess because of that action, they denied me my bonus. And when I asked my friend who's full-time, I said, hey, how much was the bonus? Because I was trying to figure out how much mine would be, because I went to part-time halfway through the year. And so she told me, or I said, did you get your bonus? And she told me, yes, it was $6,666. So I wish I was lying. But I had another friend tell me the same amount. So after I heard that, I was like, you know what? I don't need your blood money. I don't need your evil money. So, you know, they did take a hit, by they did keep my bonus. And that's frustrating. But at the same time, when I told Dr. Thorpe about that, he said that because they took that amount, he wants to start a fundraiser. And he's trying to raise for me $7,777.
And for our audience, our listeners, if you're not familiar with Dr. James Thorpe, you should be. We're going to have him on as a guest here coming real soon. He set up a not a GoFundMe. You should slap me for saying that. GiveSendGo, because we don't want to support communist GoFundMe. No. They are communists. So GiveSendGo is what we want to support. That is what your fundraiser is, correct, Michelle?
Mm-hmm.
So
yes.
I just looked. You're currently sitting at $6,496 have been raised towards your $7,777 that Dr. Dang. Thorpe is working to help you achieve.
Yes.
So you can tell all your hospital administrators and your nurse friends to go pound sand, because you're going to make like another $1,100 over them, okay? So to all of our audience, let's go to GiveSendGo and tell us where to go when we get there, Michelle, how to support you.
I believe it's GiveSendGo. /healing ground. I think that's it.
Let's do it. Let's get Michelle up to that $7,777 and just surpass all the satanic 666 numbers at her hospital. nothing weird about that. I mean, that's just
I could not believe it.
Oh, that's normal. That's, you know.
What, 6,000 employees or more that are getting 6666? Like, why does it have to be that number? Why couldn't
It just goes along with the demonic agenda that's been going for the last 36 months, which was only going to be 14 days to slow the spread, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to get you your $7,777. So, I mean, that's going to happen. You're going to reach that. But
yes,
tell us a little bit about, what are you doing now? Are you still going to work on a daily basis and just with your head held high and, you know, knowing that the administration and the hospital is, you know, as bad as they'd like to kick you out to the curb, you know, down deep in your heart that they're having a very, very difficult time doing that, correct?
Right. So I have thought about quitting multiple times. And when my mom was alive, I used to do these energy treatments on her, and it was her favorite thing in the world. And, it's pretty much like acupressure. It's called NAET. And I really helped her blood pressure come down. And so I used to tell her before the shots even came out, I said, I cannot stand poking babies. We poke them too much, you know, for doing different lab tests, checking their sugars and stuff. It's excessive. And if we're supposed to do no harm, we should do no harm. Obviously, if the baby's having a problem, yes, we need to check, but they do it way too much. And she would just say, do not quit. Those babies need you, and you're saving them. And if you think that I am bold, you should have seen my mom, because my mom was this tall, strong, redhead woman, and she would be loud. And so I used to be really timid, but when she died, all that timidness just like went out the window. You know, I feel like a part of her comes out of me now, and it's beautiful. So when I've thought about quitting so many times, because of all the just this craziness. And but every time I think about quitting, I hear her voice saying, do not quit. Those babies need you, and you're saving them. And so I really hear that inner voice. And I appreciate it so much. So when I do go to work, I realize that I could have snuck in at the hospital when my mom was there, because people aren't paying attention. They're all just looking at their phones. They all have stuff all over them. And so I just... you know, when I go to work now, I just kind of feel like I'm going into the lion's den. But at the same time, I just work part time. And I do like to
do you get glared at? Do you get scoffed at? People turn their shoulder to you because you're a traitor or?
Maybe a little bit, but not like recently. No, I think people are starting to open their eyes. And if they ask me questions, I'm happy to give them information. So, I mean, I'm still the same nurse that I was before the shots ever came out. You know, people liked me back then, and all of a sudden I didn't get vaccinated. I mean, I didn't change. I just didn't get vaccinated. So I think people are coming back around. And I don't know. I've been judged before, and I guess I have thick skin at this point. I don't know. But my actual employees that I work with, they don't really retaliate. It's more just when I go to the HR meetings, they told me I broke the rules. And then, you know, they took my bonus. That's it, really.
So you had mentioned the email that you sent out. I think did you already mention that about the email?
A little bit, but I didn't talk about the details too much.
Yeah. What was the whole situation with that email? It was talking about the rate of baby deaths. And it was, like you said, it was pretty raw.
Yes. So before the shots came out, there was one baby death per month on average. Logan's back. That email said that in the month of August, there were 22 fetal demises, and that it ties the record number of fetal demises from July of 2021. And so that pretty much says for 12 months straight, there was an average of 20 dead babies per month. And that's more than it's ever been. And she said that this number is projected to increase. So you guys need to learn how to handle a dead baby.
Okay, first part. They knew it was going to increase. They knew there was a reason why. But
yes.
They're not going to say what it was.
Right.
But you,
blood money,
right.
Baby, blood money.
Yep. And now you have to know the procedure. So do you have any idea what that procedure or protocol was for nurses to follow the line?
Well, the policy was how to, Logan, please. Here, go another room, please. The policy is when we would have a baby, we would have to put the baby in like a special bucket to be transported to the morgue. And we'd have to cover the baby in we call it a chuck, but the pads, you know, the absorbent pads, and put it in the bucket.
They want you to
over there. Oh my gosh. They wanted us to make sure we know, sorry, how to prepare the baby when we have a dead baby come to us.
Is
they
want to make sure that the same for all babies, though.
It's the same as it has always been, but because we were not used to this procedure because it was so rare, they wanted to make sure that we brush up on it so that we know what to do.
So they knew it was coming, and they just wanted to prepare you in advance so you could handle the exponential increase in baby death. I mean, that's sick. I mean, these people have a special place waiting for them. I can guarantee you that.
Not to mention, I think she mentioned something about they lost one of them.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and my employees and I want to thank each and every one of you for your support by bringing you the MyPillow that started it all. MyPillow's patented fill adjusts to your exact individual needs, regardless of your sleep position. Because it works, we've sold over 70 million MyPillows, and now I'm bringing it to you for the lowest price ever. For example, you get my standard MyPillow, now only $19.88 with your promo code. Now's the time to get them for your friends, your family, your neighbors, everyone you know. MyPillows make the best gifts ever. In the times we're in, one thing we all need is getting a great night's sleep. So go to MyPillow.com or call that number on your screen now. Use your promo code and you'll get my standard MyPillow for only $19.88. For a more custom fit, my premium queen, only $24.98. Or my premium king, only $29.98. This is a limited time offer, so order now.
They did. They were supposed to send it to the morgue, and somebody transported the baby, and they ended up finding it in a refrigerator that it wasn't supposed to be in behind some urine samples. And all of this is in that email.
Whoa.
And so the lady who wrote this email, I couldn't even believe that she actually wrote this because it was so raw that I don't know how, when she was actually writing it, how she decided to send it to everybody. If she wanted to make it very simple, very non-biased, she should have just said, you guys need to, you know, review your policies and make sure you don't mishandle a baby or something. Instead, it was like this long email with so much detail in it.
Well, I believe when we were younger, I think the childhood vaccine schedule was somewhere between 4 and 6. And now I think, if my memory serves me correct, from November of this past year of 2022, I think it's now 76 on the on the childhood vaccine schedule, if I'm correct. Is that right?
Yes, you're correct. Yes. And did you know that none of these vaccines have ever been proven to actually prevent that said disease from occurring?
Probably not, no.
It's all based on a lie. There's actually a really good book that I read, and it totally solidified everything that I needed to know that I questioned about vaccines. And it's called Childhood Vaccines and Autoimmune Disease by Thomas Cohen. And it's really a good book.
Say it one more time, Michelle Whistleblower.
Childhood Vaccines and Autoimmune Diseases by Thomas Cohen.
I love saying the word whistleblower because, you know, before 3 years ago, I only thought it was a referee. I didn't even know what a whistleblower was. And in the last 3 years, 36 months, I mean, I love doing shows with whistleblowers. That's one of my favorite things to do.
Yep.
I love when people out evil enemies. I love it.
So I'm curious, have they gone into investigating what, now we know probably what the cause was, but the actual cause of death to the infant, is it cardiac? Does the baby die of just a cardiac issue, or is there something in the mother that's causing the baby to die?
So the information that I know is from Dr. Thorpe, from his, you know, he calls them his Trojan horses. He has people who can read the ultrasounds for him. And that's how he gets information. I know that the hospital has not been investigating why these babies are dying. And I also, I know someone who works for VAERS that I've been talking to, and he said they're not reporting them. But as far as what Dr. Thorpe has seen, yes, there are cardiac issues in these babies. And even the ones that survive, we've been having a lot more ultrasounds done on these babies because they're showing heart arrhythmias, and those, that's not normal. And then there's been clots in the placenta. So blocked blood flow to the babies from these clots. So that seems to be pretty common now also.
So that makes you wonder if you take a jabbed mom, the baby's born, it has some issues. If, depleting the oxygen, we might start seeing some kids with deficits.
Right. That's scary too, because some of these women are getting the vaccine and they're delivering their babies and they appear to be healthy, but we don't know, once these babies are developing later on, if they're going to have problems.
And the other thing I'm curious about is, are those babies being born, are they showing any inflammation of the heart? Like some of the teenagers are getting the peri and myocarditis, if the infants are showing that.
Yeah, it's possible. I just know that we've been doing more ultrasounds on the babies, but I don't know if, I don't know their results from them, mm-hmm. because it's normally a follow-up appointment.
And the thing that's so sad is the only places where people are hearing about this is from independent journalists, citizen journalists, alternative media. It's not anywhere on the mainstream.
It's radio silence.
It's nowhere. And I think that's the most sad thing, that people have been suppressed and censored and basically shut up, that they can't talk about this. And it's
censored like crazy. Yep, it's so bad.
Do the mothers of these children, once they realize they have passed, are they making that connection that I should have never got the jab? I was given misinformation. Do they connect it?
So far, from what I've seen, they really don't. But then again, it's so recent that this happens to them that maybe when they go home and they think about it, maybe they realize it later. And I don't really know, because I don't follow up with them later. But in the moment, they don't seem to put it together. That was happening a lot more several months ago. Now, over the last few months, it's slowed down, thank God. I'm just not sure. But I do think that all the mothers who did have a fetal demise, I think at this point, they should call their doctor office. Whoever gave them that shot, they should call them and they should question them. And the doctors will most likely gaslight them. They'll tell them, oh, it's not from the shot. And they'll, try to get rid of them. But they should be persistent. They should say, why didn't you warn me that this shot could have possibly killed my baby? You should have warned me. You should have given me true informed consent, because that's what being a doctor is supposed to be about.
And here's the other thing. They may not be able to get pregnant again.
Right. Right.
So that's the other issue.
I'm not totally sure here, but when I first started working there, we always had about 30 moms on the floor at any time. And then we'd send them home and we'd get the next mom. It was always an average of 30 moms. Now it's always an average of 15 to 20 moms. So
Nothing to see
that
there.
Right there.
We're hearing about the whole lack population. The reproductive.
So Michelle, I have to know this. You've been a nurse for several years. Obviously you work with several coworkers who are nurses. From an emotional standpoint, how has that impacted you and your coworkers, seeing that, you had a 60% increase in hospitalizations with babies? You went from one death to four deaths per week. Obviously, that's not normal. How has that impacted you and your coworkers from previous years?
Yeah, it's devastating. The whole energy of the whole hospital is very dark. It's not the same. The cohesiveness, I believe, of staff, how it used to be, is not really there anymore. And, the staff used to seem happier. People just seem like they're in a dark place. It's devastating. Some days it feels like carnage when we have a lot of critical things going on, with moms having issues with their blood pressure and clots and things like that. It's different.
Well, I can only imagine, and you probably have some of these feelings. You go to work, you're going into the pit of hell because people that realize what's going on, this is my profession, this is how I make a living, I just got to go, you know, clock in, clock out, but the whole time I'm there, I'm in the pit of hell, you know, and, yeah. It, and it, not just the workload, it's the knowing what you're doing.
And I'm assuming, Michelle, yeah. They're probably still muzzling you out there at your current hospital, correct?
You mean they want me to be quiet? Yeah.
No, I mean, they want you to wear a mask.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Oh, yeah. Gotta wear a mask and you can't speak. So, I mean, that's...
They do. I don't know why we're still wearing masks. Nobody else is wearing masks unless you go into a hospital. So what is the point?
Okay, so I wonder if Medicaid could have something to do with this.
I'm going to pop in here. Here we go.
He's going to segue.
Okay. So we have become somewhat friends with a local independent pharmacist. And this pharmacist locally never bought into all the nonsense during COVID. Didn't buy into any of it. He was dispensing hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, you know, budesonide, all that stuff. So this past week, my wife called this particular pharmacist because we would rather give him the money than to give it to the independent global elite pharmacy-owned, you know, pharmakia people. And my wife asked him some questions, and he's like, well, you know, our pharmacy is locked. I actually have to bring the medication out to your car. I'm like, that's odd. And he said, yes, we've been robbed so many times here lately, so I have to bring it out to your car. So my wife went there to get a prescription. Actually, she was getting supplements because we're trying not to do anything prescription-based. She gets there, and there's a girl working at the front locked door with a mask. And I'm like, I forbid you, I rebuke you to ever go back to that pharmacy again if they're wearing a mask. So I rebuke you in the name of Jesus, never step foot in that independent pharmacy again. So she got to talking to him, so he called her. And I mean, it's a pharmacist we know. And he said, listen, in order for me to get my Medicare and my Medicaid compensation and payments, we have to wear a mask and play the game in order for them to be satisfied, in order for us to get paid. And I'm like, what a con.
No, it's
what an
totally.
Absolute con. And then he started getting into the other stuff about, you know, why we like to use them as opposed to GoodRx. And he had a whole dissertation on the backstory of GoodRx and what they are doing to the pharmacy industry nationwide and even independent doctors. It's disgusting. But to answer your question, yes, it's playing the game of Medicare and Medicaid, and that's how they're getting paid, is because, you know, you have to wear the mask, you have to play the game, and then you get your money. Yep. So it's all about the money. It has been ever since March of 2020. That's a rhyme. It's all about the money. It has been since March of 2020. That's like a little rhyme. That's like a riddle.
Yeah. Yeah, their profits and their policies are more important than human life.
Unbelievable.
So I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I want to circle back to, I hate that term. I want to go back. Yeah, I want to go back to this term or this situation where the mother came in, she tested positive. Uh-huh. I went through this scenario probably 2 years ago when my daughter was having my granddaughter. She goes to the hospital. She's to emergency. She's bleeding. It's kind of an emergency situation. She goes in. Immediately they test her for, and she has COVID. So they have to put her in the special COVID ICU, and then I'm trying to think of the sequence, but it turned out that what didn't make sense to me is they said, okay, the dad can't come in for 10 days. The baby has to be isolated when it's born for 10 days. Oh my God. And then all of a sudden they're like, oh, never mind. 3 days is good enough.
Yeah, none of it makes sense.
And I think that's because the rooms were full. They needed room.
Yeah, none of it makes sense. None of it. That's heartless. If they didn't let the dad come, that's his baby. Mm-hmm. They try to separate. Did you say they tried to separate the baby or they put the baby in isolation?
Yeah. They wouldn't even let my daughter see the baby for, I think it was going on. She thought it was going to be 4 days and then the dad
that's
got to come
inhumane.
In. And the bonding was broken.
Problem with all this, Michelle, whistleblower and Randy, is that Americans complied with all this. They should have pushed back. They should have just caused so much chaos and havoc in the hospitals that they're like, you know, we're not going to take this. You know, kind of like, was it Quiet Riot? We're not going to take this? Was that the Beastie Boys?
No, that was Twisted Sister.
Twisted Sister. Well, same one, same thing. Anyway, but the problem is compliance. Everybody complied. And that's why we're in the position we are now 3 years later, is because everybody complied, did what they were told to do, did what they heard on the news.
Same with the Holocaust in, 1946, I think is the year. But, you know, the Nazis complied with what Hitler said. He put some orders out there and they listened, and then 6 million Jews died. And it's the same thing now. It's, they're just following orders. This time it's all for money, and the unvaccinated are singled out like the Jews were. And yeah, it's really inhumane, all of it. And I don't know, what's it going to take for people to finally stand up and stop following orders?
Michelle, we always like to ask our guests, what is one, or possibly what are two action steps our audience can take going forward, knowing what you have revealed today about what's going on in the hospitals, especially with babies?
Well, number one, the moms should call the doctor offices, whoever gave them that shot. They should call them and they should question them. And, you know, a true doctor will listen to them and, you know, answer their questions and not gaslight them. But we need to hold them accountable. So that's the first thing. The second thing I would like to say is don't get the shot. But I mean, everybody who was going to get it got it already. So don't get any more.
Or two or three.
Or
two or three. My wife knows somebody that had seven. Seven. What? I kid you not. Seven.
Whoa, that's way too many. So dangerous.
That's blood replacement. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and I think this is a blessing in disguise. Even though it's terrible how many people have lost their lives or how many people are sick now, but they're calling this a vaccine, and they're right. It is a vaccine, but just as bad as this is a vaccine, so are all the other vaccines. And we really need to stop putting toxic substances into our children's bodies. So just stop. And a lot of moms are saying, well, then my kid can't go to public school. Well, then homeschool, or make a community school or whatever. But you do not need to put toxic stuff into your baby's bodies. And that's, you know, when I would tell my mom we poke these babies too much, I was talking about the hepatitis B vaccines also, because hepatitis B comes from sexual contact. So your baby's not going to go out and start sleeping around when they go home. And even if they do, which they won't, it's never been proven that you're actually going to get hepatitis B that way. That's just their idea, sort of. And I mean, once you bring this up to people, it kind of, their head blows up, but if they don't understand the vaccine thing. But when I would tell my mom that, that's when she would say, don't quit. Those babies need you. Because instead of giving the hepatitis B vaccine, since I pretty much refuse, I've also been talked to about that before this ever happened. I pretty much tell parents, hey, the only way your baby's going to get hepatitis B is if they have sex with someone who has hepatitis B. And they're not going to do that anytime soon. And then they're like, oh, then I don't want it. Yeah, of course you don't want it, but they don't tell you that, you know, unless you have me for your nurse.
Our government is printing money at an unprecedented rate. Inflation and financial fear are at an all-time high, and the fiat dollar and economy are going to crash. Whether you're a collector or investor and want to diversify and protect yourself against hard times, or just have real money in your hand, then buy your precious metals from Miles Franklin, who has access to the largest inventory in the United States. You have no minimum or maximum order size. You get to work with brokers who have 30 years experience. You get a company that brings an A+ Better Business Bureau rating, and they're licensed and bonded. Plus, you get free educational resources. Miles Franklin, your source for precious metal investments, 30 years of dependability. Be sure to use referral code GRIT when ordering.
Why do they get all the shots? It's probably because they want them to enter the sick care system for their entire life.
Yes, it's money. Money. Yeah. That's all these autoimmune diseases that we have, it could potentially be from injecting toxins into their system.
Yep. I said it's the best membership model ever. It blows Netflix away. So here I have to know this, Michelle. You know, since we've started studying this, you know, 3 years ago and had, you know, I can't even tell you how many guests on our show and started digging in and researching, you know, vaccinations and for kids. And you mentioned a while ago, you know, get the vaccines for your kids to go to school. The more research we've done, the more people that we've talked to, you know, independently or on our shows, a lot of that stuff is a myth. You know, I have to get my kids vaccinated to go to public schools, and I have to have proof of... The more we're finding out, that's not always the case.
Right.
And I think so many people...
Because there's exceptions.
Yeah, so many people... It's just like,
they'll tell you.
Wear a mask. Wear a mask. Okay, I'm going to put on a mask. Get a shot. Get a shot. Okay, I'm going to get a shot. Get your kids vaccinated. Vaccinated. So they go to school. So they take them out. You know, you don't have to do everything you're told. You know?
Right.
Push back. Don't comply. And make them work for it. And stand up for your kids and for humanity. And, you know, don't allow everybody just to push you around like the bully on the playground. I mean, this is absolute craziness. Crazy town.
Yep.
Well, we're proud of you. Keep blowing that whistle.
Yeah, let's revisit your Give, Send, Go again. Your Give, Send, Go, Michelle, earlier in the show, was at $6,496 out of $7,777. Let's get her over that. I think she ought to go to $8,888.
Might as well while we're at it.
Are you okay with that, Michelle?
I'm okay with that. I want to let people know that I'm not doing this for the money. I think that's obvious, but I am just really grateful that people have been so generous, and I appreciate all of it. You know, so many people have reached out to me too after seeing me on these shows, and they just reach out and say thank you for what you're doing. And every time I get those messages, I realize that if they fire me at work, I'll be fine. You know, there's always another way, and people have just been really incredible.
I like the way you think. Again, that website is givesendgo.com/healingground. givesendgo.com/healingground. That's going to get Michelle over that monetary hump that we're looking at. So, Michelle, thank you so much for being here with us today on Patriots with Grit. We truly admire what you're doing, and I think moms and parents and babies and coworkers everywhere should be, you know, giving you virtual and personal high fives every time they see you. So thank you so much for doing this and standing up and doing what's right. We appreciate your effort.
You're welcome. Thank you. Thank
you. We'll hope to have you back. Take care. See you later.
All right. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thanks for watching another exciting episode of Patriots with Grit. We want to keep you informed, so if you would, just go over to patriotswithgrit.com and give us your first name and your email so we can keep you up to date. Also, be sure to subscribe, like, and share so we can keep bringing you truth. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.
See ya.